All right. Thank you that for that. Thank you for being here this morning. And I do want to help you feel. Brother Chim made next week sound kind of dangerous, to be honest with you. The petting zoo is going to probably eat one of your limbs. We're going to choke you to death with hot dogs. It won't be that bad, okay? It'll actually be family friendly. Okay, a couple of years ago, we had a mechanical bull, and Brother Pineda didn't walk right for a week and a half. He was limping, he fell off. So sign the waiver release before you do come next week, all right? Family friendly, we'll have a really good time. But again, I want to thank you for being here this morning. We will not be long. We're typically up speaking before this time, but I'm not here to keep you long. But I do want to share a thought for you. One of my favorite hymns is... one that's very, very well known. Most people that don't even really go to church know what the hymn is. And it's the hymn Amazing Grace. It was written by a man named John Newton. Many years ago, I found an old book. It was a reprint, I believe, and I think you can still get it. It's called Out of the Depths. It was basically his testimony of his life and what happened to him. He was a very profane man. His he had a mother who was a Christian that tried to give him a proper upbringing, but she died when he was seven. His father was a sailor, and he started sailing on ships. Eventually became he was actually a captain of a slave ship that would go over to Africa and transport slaves back to America. He was a very profane man. He said that in his testimony, he said that his goal was that if he was in the presence of somebody for more than 20 minutes, that he would corrupt them. That was his goal. And he was a very evil, very wicked man. But one night on his ship, the ship was in a storm, and it seemed like the ship could go down. And his upbringing came back to him, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And God completely transformed his life. Within a couple of years, he was no longer a ship captain. And he actually pastored for many years of his life, for over 30 years. On his grave, this is what is written. John Newton, a clerk and a preacher, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel, which he had long labored to destroy. You know, that hymn, Amazing Grace, is very powerful because it is really a life testimony of a man who really experienced God's grace. In John chapter 1, the verses that we read, it's just talking about the Messiah who came to this earth, Jesus Christ. It tells us that he came for a purpose to this earth, and his purpose was to die for the sins of mankind. He also came with power. And we see that in the fact that he resurrected from the dead. Jesus Christ was at the same time 100% God, but yet he took on 100% humanity and lived among his creation. He was the perfect man. And he had to be able to die for our sins. But that little phrase that we read there said that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Now, those must be mixed perfectly in balance. If we are too much on the grace side and we ignore the truth, we will compromise the truth. If we are too much on the truth side and we don't have any grace, we are very condemning with the truth. But Jesus Christ was completely perfect in the fact that he had a perfect balance of grace and truth. But he was graceful and he was full of grace. We don't understand grace today. Even in our Christian circles, sometimes we misinterpret it, we misapply it, and we don't talk about it. Grace is very important because grace is what God allows to for us to be able to be forgiven from all of our sin. John Newton experienced God's grace to a full extent, and when he did, it changed him forever. And just in the few minutes I have, I want us to see a few things that show us that God's grace really is amazing. Why is God's grace so amazing? Well, first of all, because it's God's grace that separates. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this world. As John Newton said in his hymn, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." You know, once we experience God's grace in our life, as it teaches us here in Titus, we see things differently. And it teaches us and it helps us to avoid those things that would be very hurtful in our life, because we see things in a different light. The things that we saw that we thought were okay and maybe harmless, that we see that they're not okay and they are harmful. God's grace helps us to experience light. Because without light, we stumble and we get ourselves into trouble because we don't understand. But when we're saved, we start to understand those things that are harmful to us, because now we're looking at this world from the position of light. I remember several years ago, I was working and I had to run downstairs. It was summertime, so we didn't have our school in session. I was running downstairs to check something out. And I walked to the fellowship hall. It's down, doesn't have any light. And I thought, well, I'm in a hurry. I don't need to turn the light on. I know where I'm going. And as I was walking, next thing I know, I was laying on the ground looking up into the dark. There was one of these monitors there. I didn't see it. And I just tripped all over it. And I'm sitting there laying. I'm like, it's a good thing that there's nobody here. I feel like an idiot. But when we don't see things, we get confused. I remember my wife and I were out of town. We were up in Daly City and we were staying in a hotel room. And it was the middle of the night and I had to use the restroom. And you know how it is when you don't want to turn the light on, right? How many of you are like that? Because it's bright. So I'm in the hotel room. I use the restroom. And then I was leaving and I could not find the door. And I'm like, I know it's on the wall. I came in and I kept feeling it. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, well, what had happened is I took the wrong turn. And I actually stepped into the bathtub without knowing it. And I was like on the wall, and then I was so embarrassed. I'm like, I got out and I snuck back to bed. Now the bed was against the wall that I was trying to find the door. My wife's like, what was going on in there? I'm like, I don't know. I think it was the people in the next room. I'm not sure. But I couldn't see. But now that I can see, when you turn the light on, you see those things that cause issue in your life. And that's what happens with grace. He says the things that we were there, the grace of God that brings salvation, it shows us all these things that potentially are not good for us because the light has been turned on. Secondly, God's grace really is amazing because it's God's grace that sanctifies. And I'll explain that. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" You see, not only do we start to see things correctly when we experience God's grace, it helps to change us to be different so that we are not involved in those things that God says are harmful. You see, God wants us to be different. God wants our life to be completely changed and altered once we meet Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have things in our life that maybe we know are not good and we struggle with them. We struggle to clean up areas of our life. Do you know what? When we're saved and we're Christians and we experience God's grace, His grace helps us to clean up those areas of my life. Before I was a Christian, I had areas of my life I did not like. Even as an unsaved, I didn't know God. And I just, man, that bothers me. And I tried to change my habits and I couldn't do it. Remember, I had a biker one time. I worked at my dad's, and we had these Harley-Davidson shop in the back, and they'd use our shops. And one of those, I mean, these guys, you know, they had tattoos everywhere. I mean, they were so bad. They were Raider fans. And they came to me and said, and the guy goes, you know, he goes, you know what? You cuss too much. Now, when a biker tells you that, that's not good. And I was offended at that. And then I'm like, he's right, but I mean, I don't like to hear it. And I'm going to clean it up. I couldn't clean up. But let me just tell you something. When I met Christ, that just all went away. And so when we get God's grace, it helps us to change. Think about Paul. Paul used to persecute Christians. Paul, who used to put Christians to death and try to get them to renounce their faith, God completely altered and changed his life. And God can change your life. Next. God's grace is amazing because it's in God's grace that we stand. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because we are in God's grace and we stand in his grace, we can be solid and secure in our lives. So many people live their lives just all over the map, and just whether they don't handle problems right, or they don't handle situations of life right, or they're just, sometimes we're just all over the map. But listen, when we know God, we can have a life that is solid and secure. And that stands because we're standing in God's grace. See, you don't have to struggle in life. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. All of us have problems. Circumstances that we cannot control. Trials that come our way. But I'll just be real honest with you. Way too many times the problems and the issues we have in our life, they're self-inflicted. The issues we have in life are because of the things we're doing in our life, and our life is blown up, and we're going from here and we're going to there, and it's nothing but drama. And you know what? By God's grace, if we can stand in his grace, we can be solid in everything that we do. You're not going to be perfect, but you know what? You know what's going on. You have God on your side, and you can make it through anything that he brings your way. Next, I want us to know God's grace really is amazing because it's grace, God's grace, that starts our life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and we'll end up here. It says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I just feel that the Christian life is the greatest life that you can live. I just think being a Christian is phenomenal. Sometimes if you're new and you're coming to church, and you know, and I had this thought, I'm like, those are church people. I mean, come on, they grew up in the nursery and they don't live in the real world. Okay. And by the way, a lot of us here, you come in here and maybe someone invited you and you're like, oh, they look so cleaned up and neat and sweet. Come see me. I know their stories. I'll tell you everything. There's not a bunch of people. Now, I'm thankful we have a new generation coming up that have grown up in church. I wish my testimony would have been, you know what, the worst thing I did, I was throwing, stuff at people in the nursery, but that's not my testimony. That's not the testimony of a lot of people here. We know what it's like to be on the other side, and we know it's better on this side. And we ought to thank God for that. But what is the starting place for that? The starting place is when we trust Jesus Christ for our Savior, because it's by his grace through faith that we become a Christian in the first place. We have to understand that. And your friend invited you here this morning, and I would let you know this. If you don't know Jesus Christ, that is something you should take care of today. I met Jesus Christ at a church service on an Easter Sunday. It was not a friend day, but it was like a friend day to them. My friend, Pastor Joe Esposito, we grew up together. We got in trouble together. I knew him well. He knew me well. We knew everything. And he was a Christian now, and he was going to church. And he's like, hey, why don't you come to church with me? It's Easter Sunday. I want to bring somebody. I'm like, I'll go. I went to church that Sunday. a day like this, extra peace. And you know what? That day, I met Jesus Christ. Amen. And that was the beginning point, the starting point for me to be able to have something way better than what I was experiencing already. Right. It's a starting place. But it starts with God's gift. And sometimes that can be a truth that's hard to bear. Probably 150 years ago in London, they had this, the city had a big, they were having some type of city celebration. And so they invited one of the city's pastors, or a man named Caesar Millan. They invited him to come to the meeting. So he went to the dinner, and they had entertainment. And it wasn't bad entertainment. And there was a lady up there. She was not a Christian lady. And she got up and she sang a very beautiful song. She had a beautiful voice. Afterwards, this pastor very boldly went up to her. And he thanked her for her beautiful voice. And he goes, you know, I was just thinking as you were singing that if you would just use your talents for God, you could really do something great. And then he looked at her and said, you know, you are a great sinner, just like anybody else is a sinner. And if you would come to Jesus Christ, he would cleanse you of your sins. She got offended at that. She walked away. Over the course of the next few months, that bothered her. It started to get to her. And through some circumstances, but mainly because of what he said, she became a Christian. There's a song that we sing, Just As I Am, Just As I Am. She wrote that hymn and others. But it was because someone had the courage to tell her just what God wanted to do in her life. God's grace starts that for us, because God's grace is what it takes for us to be saved. We hear that term. What is saved? You know, we used to say born again Christian. How many ever heard that term? That's kind of an old school term. We don't really use that anymore. You see, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. You know, there's nothing we can do to become a Christian. There is nothing we can do to make it to heaven. There's nothing we can do, because we're all sinners. The Bible tells us that every single one of us have sinned. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the problem we have sometimes, we want to compare ourselves to others. If we want to compare ourselves to someone, then we need to compare ourselves to God. That's the comparison, because he is perfect and he is a holy God. And when we sin, we chose to go our own direction. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God told them, they had one rule: don't eat that fruit. One. And they couldn't keep it. It's kind of mankind's problem, isn't it? But he says that we're all sinners and there's nothing we can do. It's not of ourselves. You see, if any of us go to heaven, it's going to be because it is the gift of God. For the wages of sin is death. Do you know, because we're sinners, we owe a price to God? You know what that price is? Death. When he told Adam and Eve, they said, the day that you eat the fruit from that tree, you are going to die. Now, we know the story. They ate the fruit. Did they die that day? Nope. Not physically. They died spiritually. The verses we read in Ephesians tell us that we were dead in our sins. You see, spiritually, when we do our own thing and we disobey God, we become sinners. And because of that, we owe a price. That's why we die. But there's a spiritual death that's way worse. If I could take something out of the Bible, and I would never presume to be able to do that or want to do that, but if I could take something out of the Bible, I would take hell out of the Bible. I don't like it. Bothers my conscience. But you know what? It's real. Right. And it's truth. And you know what? God doesn't, we understand that hell's a real place, and because we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. And sometimes people get hung up on that. Why don't you think about the flip side of that? God doesn't want us to go there. God provided a way of escape by his grace. You see, that's why Jesus Christ came to this world. We read the verses, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, we look at it and say, well, why would God do that? Listen, God didn't do anything. We're the ones who sinned. We're the ones that owe the debt. And Jesus Christ came to this earth so he could pay that debt for us. And if we will receive him, that debt can be paid. And that's all because of God's grace. It's not because God looks down at any of us and says, boy, that Ray Pichardo, he's a good guy. I want to save him. He knows better. And so do I, and so do you. It's not because of anything in us. It's because of how wonderful he is. The end of John Newton's life, they asked him about his relationship with God. He goes, I was a great sinner. He is a great Savior. That's right. What does grace want you to have? Grace wants you to have an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin and death, but the gift of God. Just think of the comparison there. You know what a wage is? It's something you earned for something you did. But what's a gift? A gift is something you did not earn, given to you freely if you will accept it, and you don't have to pay for it. That's what heaven is all about. God's grace is wonderful. And God's grace wants to work in your life and wants to work in my life. I am so glad that I don't have to live on this life by myself, because I'd mess it up pretty good. In fact, even though I know the Lord, I still try sometimes. But I'm thankful God's grace, and God is continually working. And and he wants to work with you, and he wants to give you something new. You say, my life, I'm miserable. You know what? God doesn't want that. I feel like I have no purpose in life, and sometimes I think about eternity, and I fear, and I don't know what's going on. God does not want us to have to live like that. That's why his grace is so amazing. If you don't know him this morning, I would encourage you strongly, as I did several years ago at a church service just like this. I trusted Christ as my Savior. My life's never been the same. Are you perfect? Nope. You ask my wife, she'll tell you. Okay? No. But you know what? It's a lot better than it would be. And he's still working on me because of his grace. And I want you to experience his grace today. If we could, for a minute, please, if we could all just stand for a moment together.